On this first Sunday of Lent, we focus on the temptations of Christ. And this year, with Mark's Gospel, we have the shortest rendition of that event. Now, that's okay, because Mark is the shortest Gospel. Besides, he wrote his Gospel about the life of Christ to convince the non-Jews about the divinity of the Lord. Hence, he doesn't add all the details that Matthew and Luke employ, because they were speaking to the Jewish people. Now, what is revealing about the temptations of Christ is, in the words of Father Ronald Knox, English convert and writer, is that there was nobody there to record this event. What's he mean? He says Jesus was all alone as he embattled Satan, his adversary. Now, Ronald Knox knew more about the Bible than all of us put together. After all, he did translate the whole Bible into English, claims that Christ recounted later this event to his disciples, so that we today would have his example as a testimony on how to combat temptations when they come. And come they do, most often. The Lord endured three temptations because there's three kinds of temptations. Temptations regarding our body and physical pleasures. Quite a few addictions there today. Temptations regarding others, pride, control, things like that. And temptations regarding the want of things, greed, avarice, jealousy. Sometimes these are linked to temptations of pride, the world, and the flesh. Whatever the case, temptations are daily and they come in multiple ways. But temptations are not sins, provided we do not consent to them. For Christ was tempted, but never sinned. Sometimes overcoming temptations can even help us to obtain more grace and grow in virtue. All occasions of sin, however, are dangerous inasmuch as we become more susceptible to sin. For the devil never sleeps, but like a hunter waits silently for his prey until we are tired, fed up, depressed, and then via deceit, fantasy, and with feigned compassion, he induces us into his snare, and sin is often chosen. On this Sunday, we also focus on the patriarch Noah. In fact, the whole theme of salvation history is worth noting during Lent. Jesus as Savior just didn't come into our world, but prepared the world for his coming. Gradually, over time, God revealed his plan for humanity to usher in his Saviour. This plan is enshrined or wrapped in covenants. What's a covenant? It's a sacred bond or treaty that God establishes with humanity. In the Old Testament, there were five sacred covenants or bonds, and each one is bigger and better than the last, like five steps leading upwards to prepare us for Christ. The person with whom the covenant is formed is often called a patriarch. And thus we have these five big-time players: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David. During Lent, we hear much about these great names, these patriarchs, but do we know about their temptations? Did they overcome them? Or were they overcome by them? Starting with Adam, which was a marital covenant, we know the outcome. Yes, both he and his wife were overcome by the temptation. And heaven was shut, grace was lost, the fall of humanity. And the rest is history. The next patriarch was Noah, that shipbuilder. Now, I'm sure he was tempted. Can you imagine what his neighbours would say, their comments on the size of his ark in his backyard or ship? Big enough yet, Noah? I'm sure he was tempted to downsize its dimensions at times. No wonder God gave him specific plans on how big it ought to be. Incidentally, some people in Holland, only the Dutch would do this, have built a ship the size of the dimensions in the Bible, and it's quite interesting. It's very big and more than feasible for what was the task laid before him. But Noah overcame those temptations and got the job done before the rain came down. But mind you, later in life, he did disgrace himself after drinking too much. But we won't go into that. We'll leave that. The next patriarch is Abraham, who established a tribal covenant. He became Abraham, for God promised that he would be a father of a vast multitude. But he and his wife, Sarah, were childless as senior citizens. And his wife tempted him to doubt God's promise. And he had a child called Ishmael with Sarah's maid instead. He should have trusted God and not been tempted by her. When he turned 99 years old, God said, "Now you shall have the child desired." Sarah, his wife, laughed, as one would. And so the child was called Laughter, and that's the meaning of Isaac. God kept his promise. Then came the great patriarch Moses. He features much in Lent, perhaps more than the others. God established him with a national covenant. Being a Jew, but raised Egyptian, God called him at the young age of 80 to lead his people out of slavery. Moses must have been tempted many times to give up on his quest of enterprise bargaining with the Pharaoh during those plagues. After the Red Sea crossing and devastation of Egypt from the plagues, they spent then 40 years in the desert so that the bad habits of the Egyptians would be eradicated and a new era of Jews would enter the promised land. During their sojourn, God provided them with bread, manna, and water from rock cisterns. Moses was God's mediator. But at a place called Kadesh, by the waters of Meribah, he was tempted to think that he was in charge and fell from God's grace. He was told to speak to the rock to obtain water, but he disobeyed and struck it twice. So water came out, but God said, you didn't trust me. And symbolically speaking, the rock stood for Christ, who would be struck not twice, but only once on Calvary. He disobeyed, and God would not allow him to enter the promised land. Lastly comes King David, who established the royal covenant. Just think how often he was tempted to give up fighting the giant Goliath. After all, he only had a stink shot. But he did. He battled on, overcame the temptation. Later, King Saul, jealous of him, tried to kill him on many occasions. No doubt he was tempted to give up and go back home to Bethlehem, but he didn't. David would become a great king and establish a dynasty for which Christ would come. But he fell from grace. And the temptation was one of the flesh. He saw a pretty woman called Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah, and he committed adultery and then murdered her husband. When God reproached him for his sin, he did repent and wrote the haunting hymn of mercy, Psalm 50, which features much throughout the Lenten season. David's reign came with the price of much blood, and for that reason he was not permitted to build the famous temple at Jerusalem. So his son, Solomon, did. Now these thoughts help us realize that we go not alone when we are tempted. These patriarchs did God's will, more or less, but they were tempted up and down, and some persevered, some did not. Let us persevere and make the most of Lent, and don't give in to temptations, but remain faithful to your vocation as willed by God. Keep your eyes during these days on Christ crucified, and through works of mercy, almsgiving, and prayer, you shall make progress, become stronger and more virtuous, and hence attain the joy of the risen Lord.